So I can't help it, but I like want to win and have a fight in me. And I think now that we are, you know, responsible to an industry that has built us up and all of the women we work with and all of our employees and the responsibility I feel to my investors and co-founders, I think that I feel an incredible motivation from that to keep going, in particularly in a tough time like COVID.
You gotta pick yourself up, go backwards, and slam yourself at the wall like 500 more times until the wall crumbles.
25% of middle school girls already believe they'll never achieve their dream career.
Hi, I'm Kira Golden, founder and CEO of Hint. Listening to Unstoppable, a podcast spotlighting the journeys of inspiring entrepreneurs. I believe that at its core, leadership is about constantly learning from the people around you, and I'm so inspired by the conversations we're having in our upcoming episodes and can't wait to share them with you. This season, some of my guests include Rebecca Minkoff, fashion designer and founder of the Female Founder Collective, Diana Kaff, author of Girls Who Run the World, Andrew Dudham, founder of Hims, and Eugene Rem, co-founder of Rumble Fitness, and much, much more. Plus, we ask the million-dollar question, what does it really take to be unstoppable? Let's find out. Hi, everybody. It's Kara Golden from Unstoppable, and I'm super excited to have Nicole Staple here. Hi, Nicole.
Hi. I'm so excited to be here. Yeah.
Super excited to have the co-founder and CEO of Brideside. And for those of you who are not familiar with Brideside, it's brideside.com. And we'll talk more about Nicole and lots of other stuff. But first, I want to give you guys a quick intro. She's the first online boutique and all-channel concierge service that has completely disrupted how people shop for bride's apparel. I've been a bridesmaid a few times, and I have to say that it's always challenging, right? Because you sort of depend on, you know, what that friend of yours that like she went into some dress shop. And, you know, for me being a redhead, it's always like they always pick the wrong color. So a bridesmaid dress, I go along with it because I love my friends, but I'm always like, come on, let's do this. So it'd be nice to be able to have that service to be able to look at it ahead of time. But she's really blended technology, fashion, and customer service into the whole decision-making process. And Nicole has created just really a high-touch approach that focuses on better retail experience for the brides, making the customer journey super, super convenient no matter where they're located. And she's just a really awesome person, hands-on in the company, running all the finance and revenue generating operations. She's kind of doing a lot. So it's very, very exciting to have you here, Nicole. Welcome.
Yeah, thank you. Thanks so much. And now we actually are everything for bridal retail. We launched the gown last year, and we are so excited to actually be able to sell something to brides now too.
That's awesome. So tell me a little bit about the founding story. How did the initial idea come about?
Yeah, so I can't take credit for the idea. It was my co-founder Sonali's idea, and really it came from coming out of her own wedding. She had a big Indian wedding in Florida, and she had 14 bridesmaids.
Oh my God.
Yep. And she claims to be friends still with 13 of them, I think. So she, you know, she experienced firsthand really the inefficiencies across the wedding industry. So it wasn't even just in coordinating lots of purchases with bridesmaids, but it was a lot of different pieces of the wedding industry, from how to select a vendor, transparent pricing in the industry. And she came into business school. We met at Kellogg. She came into business school really inspired to disrupt the industry. I worked in venture capital prior to business school, and so I came in with a passion for consumer technology and really scaling early stage businesses. And this was really when, this was sort of at the time when Warby Parker was just taking off. And so, you know, there was a lot of innovation happening in e-commerce in general. And we started working on the idea together in business school and sort of uncovered this, the bridal retail space, as a really interesting area for disruption, mostly because it was incredibly entrenched in a brick and mortar channel. David's Bridal was the only company to really get to that $1 billion status in wedding retail. And it was a pretty bad experience, as you sort of alluded to, for women. We were like, this is a little ridiculous that we have to fax our measurements to a local boutique where our bride lives, right? And meanwhile, you get a dress that is, you know, doesn't fit you. You're paying hundreds of dollars for alterations. So that's sort of how it all began. And, you know, we were friends before we were co-founders, and we sort of hitched one another's horses and ended up launching the company right after business school.
What year was this?
We graduated in 2012.
Okay. And so right after that, that's awesome. Where are you from?
I'm originally from North Carolina.
Oh.
And spent a number of years in Princeton, New Jersey as well, and went to school in Boston. So it was sort of all up and down the East Coast, but we founded the company out of Chicago because we're Chicago born and bred to this day, because that's where we went to business school.
That's awesome. So yeah. So you've partnered with a lot of celebrities and I'm not going to be able to pronounce some of these names, but
Michaela Erlinger.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And that's a tough one.
You know, lots of photo shoots, weddings, and red carpets. What do you feel like she's brought to your business? I always get this question, like, you know, is it worth like working with influencers and what's your, I think it just depends, right? But it seems like it's working for you guys, and I'd love to hear your opinion why.
Yeah, I think it's actually a really good point. And we've, over the years, we've done a lot of experimentation and worked with a lot of great influencers, blogs. We have a huge partnership with Betches, and we've definitely honed in on partnerships that we feel sort of fewer, better partnerships. Partnerships we feel can be a real launch pad into something bigger that can be long-term in nature, that are really on brand for us. And so we've actually sort of shied away from a traditional Instagram influencer approach. And Michaela is a great example of one that we really invested in. Michaela, actually, her styling business is in Manhattan. She's now Miami in Manhattan. And she was walking by our showroom before it was open, and she could see Brideside coming soon, the windows, and she herself getting into wedding styling, traditionally just did more red carpet, you know, celebrity styling. And she said, she went to our site and said, you know, this feels like a really modern way for women to shop. I need to like figure out who this company is. And she got in touch with us, actually.
That's the best.
And we've really become such great friends now. And I'll say, because we are really aligned in our mission, she thinks that women deserve that red carpet moment during their wedding. She really believes in creating looks that are like really affordable and accessible. She loves the service component of the business. So we've launched several bridal gowns together, and we are, you know, promoting each other all the time in terms of the types of services we provide.
I love it. That's awesome. So obviously we're recording this during COVID. And due to COVID, you quickly pivoted to virtual styling appointments. Can you share just a little bit more about how that all went down and what the experience was and what you will remember from this crazy time?
Sure. Yeah, it's definitely been a crazy year. I think more than 50% of weddings were canceled or postponed in 2020. It's probably the only time, it's almost unimaginable that a very stable industry like the wedding industry would actually change so dramatically in one year. And while this year it's been incredibly challenging, they think actually next year the industry is going to grow tremendously. And so many of that volume will be recouped next year. So we've had to adjust to that real time. You know, Brideside was built as online first. So pure technology company, we, you know, a data-driven customer experience is really at the core of why we've been successful. And so our stylist program was always online before we ever launched showrooms. In 2017, we started scaling up a brick and mortar experience that lots of people know us for now. And so when COVID hit, we sort of had to go back to our roots, but with our new infrastructure, and say, okay, how can we leverage everything that we have, you know, a great stylist/sales team, amazing technology, appointment booking platforms, an e-commerce site, how can we leverage that in really a matter of days to make sure that we can recoup as much volume as possible and shift all of that online? And, you know, I think the world shut down around March 14th. And within 4 days, we had launched virtual styling. We sent all of our stylists home from the showrooms with swatch kits and sample dresses. we transformed our appointment booking platform to all virtual. So you could do virtual for the bridal gown or bridesmaid dresses, and did some quick training for our stylists. And we were sort of up and running, and we ended up recouping a lot of volume over those few months by just allowing women who just didn't really know what to expect for the rest of the year to continue the shopping process and still work with their stylists online.
I love it. One of the things that I talk about in my book coming out is called Daunted: Overcoming Doubts and Doubters, is that everyone has fears and everyone has doubts, but it's the people that actually go and try, right? And are the ones that ultimately, you know, become unafraid, go out and change models and disrupt industries, et cetera. And I mean, frankly, I talk about this not just for entrepreneurs, but I think it's a life lesson. And I mean, I've talked to athletes about this as well. It's the same kind of thing. I mean, people think that just because you are running a company or just because you're a pro basketball player, you don't have fears or you don't have doubts. That's not true at all. It's what you do with those and how. And I think that your example is such a great example of, you didn't have this like playbook or roadmap for dealing with COVID. We didn't either. But, you know, we basically said, okay, here's what I think we can do to solve the problem, which is really, really important. And I think that, you know, when we get a vaccine and we're all sort of out of this, I really think that there will be leaders studied maybe at, you know, Northwestern or, you know, Harvard or whatever, you know, studying leaders that actually, like, what did they do? And during this time, and I think it's a really, really important thing, because there were a lot of people that just said, let's not do anything and let's wait. And we made some very fast decisions as well in our business. So I love hearing that. And like you said, you know, it was okay, right? You had a new revenue model that stemmed there. It just didn't end overnight. So that's awesome to hear.
Yeah, I think that's really true. And we've definitely had over the years our fair share of challenges as a business. I mean, we were in the Midwest, a women's consumer focused business, women founders. It's like, you can do the math, like the percentage chance we were ever going to raise as much capital as we did was so small. And we've always thought of ourselves as very resilient. And I'll say, I never expected to have to exercise the level of resilience as we did have to this year. And it's been amazing to see how much you sort of experience that rising tides moment with your team, to say, if you believe in the vision fundamentally, and even from an investor perspective, if you believe that there is an sort of an end to this or another side of the storm, then you're incredibly motivated to find, like, what is it that we do really well? What is it? Who are we as people, as a company? And it gets down to sort of the raw values that you have and how you can use them to find a way.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that's so important. So you've launched your Bridal Try at Home, you mentioned, and nationally, which is amazing. And also you launched another big collection, the newest price-driven collection, Poppy. Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So when we first started the company, we were selling all designer dresses by existing bridal designers. And over the years, we've moved into manufacturing our own product and becoming more vertically integrated. And we've always sort of played in a slightly more premium price point for bridesmaid dresses. And actually, our bridal gowns tend to be in like a more affordable price range. We believe that women shouldn't have to spend like $5,000 or more today to buy a bridal gown. And so we had launched this really amazing, high quality, affordable collection of bridal gowns. And we said, but in bridesmaids, we still think that we're blocking out a customer who, you know, maybe this is a one and done purchase for, or maybe particularly in a time like COVID, is just more budget conscious. And we said, you know, we have the capability to do this. It's really time that we expand sort of our offering. So we're launching Poppy in just a few weeks. It's a more affordable bridal gown line. We did a lot of product innovation on the production of the gowns, on the fabrics that we used. It's really built around inclusive sizing. Stretchier fabric, for example. We have hundreds of thousands of fit data points from customers. And so we were able to look at all of that data across all of our purchase history and design something that just really felt like a no-brainer, right? Very easy for, you don't even know if the wedding's going to happen at the moment. You can be sort of, you might wear it again. You can sort of be safe in this purchase. So yeah, that's launching in just a few weeks and we're really excited about it.
That's super, super awesome. So what advice would you give your 20-year-old self? knowing what you know now.
Oh boy.
I bet you weren't even thinking you were going to start a company when you were 20.
No, and certainly not in this space. It's so funny. I was so oriented around social entrepreneurship and social justice issues, and I never thought I would start this company. And I'm, you know, it's been an absolutely amazing experience. I think if I were to look back, probably one is to not take myself so seriously. I think that would probably be advice I maybe would have continued through my 20s. You know, I think I was a pretty serious person at school. I was a serious athlete. And I, you know, I look back and I say, you know, maybe I should have just, I, you know, definitely had fun, but maybe shouldn't have taken everything so seriously. I also think having the confidence to know that, you know, you are good enough and what you have in your imagination or what you have as dreams for yourself can actually be, it sounds a little cheesy, but you can actually do them. I don't think I ever would have believed that I could have run a company then or had the confidence to. So
that's awesome. Yeah. You are falling right into my book on there, because this is exactly what I talk about, which is super awesome. What's the best advice you ever received?
That's a great one. You know, I sometimes tell this story because I never even thought that I, as I mentioned, could be an entrepreneur. And when I was in college, I ended up on a plane from Boston to New York for an investment banking interview. And I sat next to Jeff Pulver, who was essentially, so I didn't know who he was. And he asked me and a friend who was also going for these interviews, you know, if you could do anything with your life, what would you do? And no one is used to being asked that. And he said, you know, if money were no consequence, no one's used to be asked that at that age, particularly from a stranger. And both of us said we wanted to start our own companies one day, but we didn't know what it would take. And he planted the seed early on that in sort of believing in yourself. And so I can't remember an exact quote at the time, but I think the advice that he gave was, you know, build your dreams as if money were no consequence. And that was had a really big impact on me. And then in terms of business, early on, we got advice from, I think it was Josh Koppelman at First Round Capital. He said, you know, strip out everything from your business that money can buy. And if you believe that you still have something valuable, go do it.
That's a great piece of advice.
And that has been a guiding force for us, right? We never have blamed money for not having enough money to do X, Y, Z, for not succeeding. We've always said, no, there's always a way, and find what the consumer loves. Find something that doesn't cost money. And that's really why you became a service business. You know, it wasn't about the number of dresses we had on the site or how good our technology was. It was me and Sonali on the phone calling brides, providing great service. And that's sort of what we built the business around.
Interesting. That's super, super interesting. Wow, that gives me a lot to think about on that. So I always ask this one final question. What makes you unstoppable?
Oh man, one, I'm extremely competitive. It's just part of my personality type. I can't help it. And I like have this fight. So I can't help it, but I like want to win and have a fight in me. And I think now that we are, you know, responsible to an industry that has built us up and all of the women we work with and all of our employees and the responsibility I feel to my investors and co-founders, I think that I feel an incredible motivation from that to keep going, particularly in a tough time like COVID. And, you know, I also think that at the end of the day, you know, I think a lot about just like why we're even here as people. And, you know, we always say this isn't life or death. We're selling bridesmaid dresses. And I think there's trying to bring a playfulness into why I'm doing this makes it sustainable. Remembering that it's not life or death and that at the end of the day, I have to be enjoying myself and my life for it to be worth it has been a huge lesson I've learned over the past few years. And that provides a lot of endurance for me.
I love it. What sports did you play?
In lacrosse.
Lacrosse. That's awesome. Very, very cool. I see that thread amongst entrepreneurs. I didn't play in college, but I play. I was a gymnast. And And so I see this a lot in female entrepreneurs that a lot of them at least played into high school and, you know, were very competitive and a lot of the traits that you're talking about. So I love it. I love it. I love it. I love it. So everybody wants to, I'm sure, figure out where to find Nicole Staple online. Where's your social channel that you like really, really are on?
Yeah, I mean, Instagram's a great one. So nicole.l.staple or at Brideside. And then, like you mentioned before, our Brideside's site is brideside.com.
I love it. I love it. Thank you so much. And everybody, please, if you loved this interview, please go in and give it a great rating and subscribe so we can continue building up the platform and getting people to know about it. And we're doing our podcast twice a week on Mondays and Wednesdays. And we're really, really excited, not only about Nicole's interview, but also many, many more coming up. So everybody have a great week. Thanks so much. Bye-bye.
Bye.
If you like what you heard, please help spread the word and leave us a review. You can also follow along with me on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and LinkedIn at Kara Golden. Do you have a question for me or want to nominate an innovator to spotlight? Please talk to me at Kara Golden on Twitter. Thanks so much for listening. Until next time, be unstoppable. Unstoppable. Unstoppable.